Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Talks about the fear of the Lord. It's a misunderstood concept, but it's a very important concept because it's the fear of the Lord that is the first step in godly living. With no healthy fear of the Lord, there will be no godly living. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's fear that's initiated by faith because we believe in Him. It's not a fear that's initiated by feeling or emotion. God, I'm scared. I just have a sense and I'm just scared. It's I believe in you. Because I believe in you, it adjusts the way I live, speak, what I do.
Do you have a healthy fear of God? As you listen to today's message with Pastor Troy, he teaches you the importance of having reverence for God. Fear of the Lord adjusts how you live. This kind of fear is a fear that's initiated by faith. By believing in the Lord and wanting to please Him, it influences what you do and say. Pastor Troy explains that reverence for God is the first step to godly living. You can't have godly living without a healthy fear of the Lord. Let God's goodness lead you to be in awe of Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
My dad was military. All I knew was military. I didn't know what it was like to be outside the military. So I had great fear in my heart about what to expect. What is it like? What do you do? How do I have access to hospital care? Everything. But I wrote myself a little card. No one else loved me, so I wrote my own card. No, it was just a little, card, not one that you open up, but one that you would stick under the little glass top for your desk while I was in the process of praying about and moving toward and then out processing and ultimately getting out of the military. And it said, dwell on the faith, not the fear. It was the word that was kind of in my heart. And what the sentiment meant was, consider what God is saying, consider what God is doing, consider who God is and how significant and important it is to follow Him and all that He can do. Think about that instead of what if I don't know and I'm scared and dwell on following the Lord, not on the other stuff. We all have things that we fear. We all have fears. The most common fear, I looked up the top 100 fears, and that was too extensive a list. There were words on there that I couldn't even pronounce. And so instead of going through a top 100, I'm just going to give you the number one most common fear, not the worst fear, but the most common fear. And I'm going to use the big word. And most of you will know the big word because it's a very common fear, and that is arachnophobia. Arachnophobia. Most of you know that word because it's a common fear. It's the fear of spiders. I mean, they do look kind of strange, you know, what has eight legs? And runs from you or at you. In the case of when I was in Saudi Arabia, those bad boys run at you. It's like, I'm coming at you, man. And they come for you. There are fears of flying, fears of driving, fears of walking. Walking in public, because at least in a car, I'm shielded. I can lock the doors. But when I'm walking, I have no protection. There's fears of everything. Fears of public speaking. Fears of not getting the opportunity to speak. Fears of bugs, fears of attention being placed on you, fears of not having attention on you at all, being forgotten. There's fears of heights, fears of tight spaces. One of the fears was fears of holes. Maybe you have that one. I don't know. I don't want to mock it, but And I guess, I don't want to fall in one for sure. But there's a fear for everything. You name something, and there's somebody who fears it. There's a fear of it. For whatever reason, we all have certain fears. Fear can keep people from doing things. Because of that fear, they won't do certain things. Fear of being liked, and so I won't say certain things. Or I fear being liked, and so I want to look like this because this is what I think people will like, or this is what I want to be because I think this is what's acceptable. Fear does things to us, and it keeps us from doing things. In fact, whenever we do certain things, fear can keep us from enjoying them. So now we're doing them, but we can't enjoy them because we're afraid the whole time. Fear can paralyze. It can, I can't think, I can't do, I can't go, I can't do anything because I'm afraid. I'm a fearful. Fear. Psychologists have said that fear is the most constrictive of any emotion that we could ever experience. It can range from an uneasy feeling. You walk into a situation, maybe in a dark place, you're not sure, and you're just kind of uneasy, to complete intimidation. So that someone says something and you're just, I can't say anything, I can't talk, I can't do anything in front of them. I'm afraid of them. I go over here and I say, I'm standing up, I'm going to say what's right. But then I'm intimidated. It's been said, a psychologist said, fear is the most destructive force in the world today. It is much easier to frighten people than to persuade them. Fear causes people to draw back from situations. It brings on mediocrity, it dulls creativity, and it sets one up to do nothing significant in life. Fear. Bad fear. But not all fear is bad, actually. There are certain things that we need a healthy fear of. It's not an emotion that exists for no reason, but there are many unnecessary fears. For example, a fear that we should have is a fear of fire. Fire is hot. You should be afraid to get too close to it, to do something where fire would get out of control and burn other things down. There should be a healthy respect and fear for fire. Animals have fears built into them, fears that keep them alive. Some small dogs don't seem to have that fear. But for the most part, animals have fears. Cats are afraid. That's why we call it fraidy cat or scaredy cat. Cats are afraid of everything. I'm like, I took my cat to the vet one time and it was just afraid of the ride. You know, it was underneath, I didn't know anything about cats. I'd always taken a dog. You don't take a kennel or crate for a dog, a small dog, you just walk in with it. So I thought I would do that with a cat. Oh, you guys know about cats? I didn't know this. So I was just gonna, it's a good cat in my arms, and I'm gonna walk in with the cat. Well, everything went wrong. First, I put him in the van, and he disappeared on me because he was so afraid. He was underneath my seat. I mean, crammed all the way under there. It took me like 5 minutes to get him out. So I'm tearing our carpet to shreds in the car. So I get him, and I'm walking in, and I'm about to walk into the little doctor's office. It's in the pet store. And just as I'm about to open the door manually, because you got to do that, someone came by with the vacuum, scared the cat, scaredy cat. And the cat started clawing, trying to get out of my hands. And, and he took off, and my car was the only one in the parking area, and so he went under my car. And fortunately, some lady knew I was an inexperienced cat handler. And she kind of came out, and she just had a crate with her and was like marching like someone who had a mission. Doom, 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 doom. You could hear the music. Says, it's your cat, huh? I said, yeah, that's my cat. But at that point, the cat was taken off. Before he went to my car, I was thinking, well, we lost our cat. I'm fine with that. Just tell the kids, cat ran off. Cat's fault. But she got the cat back for us. She went out, and I had never seen it before. She grabbed the cat. I've heard of it, but I never applied it. And she grabbed the cat underneath the car. She just reached under there. And I thought, we're going to be here 20 minutes trying to round this cat up. She just reaches under there, grabs it. And this cat that I had so much trouble with was no problem. Carry on. You could stick him right by the vacuum cleaner. Nothing. Paralyzed with fear. No. So that was my experience. How we got there, I don't know. But cats are afraid, and it keeps them alive. Maybe that's why they are said to have 9 lives, because they're so afraid they get out of there. And they keep themselves 9 times at least. There was a group of college students who decided to rent a captain and a boat and go out into the sea. Just wanted to experience it. The skies looked a little off color, a little different. And the captain, they were a couple miles out, and they wanted to really check out things. The captain grew a little pale, said, we need to turn back. And the guy said, no, man, this is our day off. We booked this. We want to enjoy the experience. He says, no, you don't understand. There's a storm coming. And you can tell by the sky. And he talked to him about the signs. And they said, look, we're not afraid of some storm. We'll be fine. And the captain said, you should be afraid, because that thing will destroy us. We need to go back. They didn't have a fear because they didn't have an understanding of what they needed to know things about. But the captain did. So there are healthy fears that should direct us and keep us from doing certain things. The Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. It's a misunderstood concept, but it's a very important concept, because it's the fear of the Lord that is the first step in godly living. With no healthy fear of the Lord, there will be no godly living. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's fear that's initiated by faith, because we believe in him. It's not a fear that's initiated by feeling or emotion. Like, oh, I'm scared, I just have a sense and I'm just scared. It's, I believe in you. Because I believe in you, it adjusts the way I live and speak, what I do. So let's talk about that faith that overcomes fear. We're going to see a few things about it. One, faith overcomes unnecessary fear. Faith develops godly fear. And faith calms others' fears. Verse 27. By faith, he, speaking of Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So the first thing we'll talk about is faith overcomes unnecessary fear.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Remember, we said there are some good fears, but faith helps us overcome unnecessary fears. Obviously, this is speaking of Moses' second exit, not his first, because the first time he left was because he was afraid. He was afraid of Pharaoh. He was afraid of everyone, because they found out he had killed the Egyptian. Something could happen to him. So he tried to take matters into his own hands. It didn't work out, and he ran. 40 years he was gone until God called him and brought him back. And it was this second time that he didn't have fear, as he stood before Pharaoh and as he left. Why? What was the difference in the second time from the first time? It's a big difference. The big difference is the assurance that God was with him. That's a big difference. When the Lord is the one leading us, when the Lord is the one leading the charge, says, I'm going to do this, it makes all the difference in the world. We have no reason to fear. You remember Gideon? Gideon was afraid. God called him, said, look, I'm going to do some great things through you. We're going to go fight a battle. He said, oh man, who am I? I can't lead the people. Well, finally, he was convinced to do so, but God kept telling him, no, whittle it down. No, you need even less people. And there was a fear. Even Gideon kept throwing fleeces. Lord, if this is you, this doesn't look good. Look, I've been doing this the whole time. What do you mean? Is it me if it's you? And listen to what God had said in Judges chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, speaking of Israel, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites, because this is the time where God steps in and calls them, says, I'm with you. If you're with us, why is all this happening? Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Though they are great in number, you're going to defeat them as easy as if it were one man. Notice, he said, you go fight, you go represent, you go trust me, but I will be with you. How's the battle going to be won? I am with you. That's how. You're not taking this upon yourself. You're not saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be with you. And that makes all the difference. When God is going to be with us, when God is leading us in something, we don't have to fear. Oh, bad things will happen. I mean, people will criticize. People will say things to try to put you down or discourage you. When I was getting out of the military, I had lots of that. But you have no reason to fear, because though none go with you, God is with you. And that's all you need. You, actually not even you, anything plus one, zero plus God is the majority. God wins every single time. So the reason Moses feared the first time was because he tried to control things. He tried to do things his own way, in his own strength, with his own emotions, all of that. He tried to do something. He killed the Egyptian, but he found out that in his own strength, he couldn't deliver even one. It didn't work. In fact, the Israelites didn't even receive him, because he tried to lead them, and they said to him, who made you boss over us? Who put you in authority, huh? You going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian? That's what scared him. He took off. So his way did not work. Have you ever tried to do something your way? In your strength, by your emotion, by what you think and what you want, only to find that you messed things up? Maybe you didn't have full understanding. Maybe you weren't as mature as you thought, and the counsel was the Lord. Or we often seem to think we know more than we actually do. But you try to do something in your own way, your own strength, your own understanding, only to find out things get messed up. Listen, God's battles are not won in the pride of human strength. They're not won because you have ability, knowledge. We don't impress God. There's nothing we can do to impress him. You want to try to teach him the scriptures? I don't. God doesn't applaud the type A personality who moves everyone out of the way and gets it done. I'm going to get it done. Because sometimes he's trying to let everyone patiently wait. He wants to use weaker vessels who will get it done in a much slower time, slower pace, but they will be transformed by it. And so as that get her done, get out of the way kind of person, you can often trample on things that God wants to do. And in your life, it would be no wonder that there's no need of the Holy Spirit. You're not waiting on anyone. You're not depending on anyone. You're just doing it. And if the Lord were to leave you, you wouldn't notice any difference. God told Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm going to send you back. The temple's going to be rebuilt, but you're not going to do it. You're going to do it physically, but it's not going to be in your ability, your strength, your numbers, your intelligence, your engineering. It's going to be by my spirit. I'm going to do this. If you listen to me, you will accomplish everything I want. Perhaps that's why God uses the foolish things of the world. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. I don't understand this, Lord. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in you instead of me, your ways instead of mine. God uses men and women like that. What Moses had to learn was that God's tasks require a lot more than our ability. What God asks us to do and what God wants to do through us requires more than the ability we have, more than the knowledge and understanding that we have, so much more. The plans of His are so much bigger than we could ever comprehend. But because we try to comprehend and we try to make our own decisions based upon what we comprehend, we limit God. God wanted to do something really big through Moses. And it would require not just Moses' ability, although Moses had great ability. This would require more than Moses' ability could handle. It required God's intervention. God was going to do something, divine intervention. When the Lord is with you, there's nothing you can't do. Joshua found that out. As they were going into the land, facing their first big foe, who we'll talk about next week, Jericho, there was a sense of, what can we expect? And he sees this mighty warrior. He found out it was the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord wasn't on Joshua's side. He was on the Lord's side. Because Joshua asked, whose side are you on, ours or theirs? Excuse me, Joshua, are those the only two sides? Because I think I'm on the right side, God's side. I'm on the Lord's side. And what gave Joshua comfort was knowing that he was on the Lord's side too, knowing that God was with him. And then seeing this massive being, oh man, this is going to be good. If you're on the Lord's side and we're on the Lord's side, yay for us. So Moses had to learn that what God wants to do requires much more than you're able to do. And when the Lord is with you, you can do everything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Sometimes that means waiting, being patient, and waiting on the Lord to do something or do certain things or to line up certain things. Waiting can be one of the most difficult things in life. Look at what Isaiah said. It's Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because they're prepared. They're ready and rested, by the way. There are times we need to rest. When God provides rest, we need to take it instead of cramming those extra things we wanted to accomplish into our schedule, into our time, and later on blaming God or something for not giving us rest. He's given it to us. He knows what we need, and He gives us what we need. So Moses didn't fear the king because he understood that the invisible God was with him. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Another thing is faith develops godly fear. It helps us to avoid unnecessary fear and overcome unnecessary fear, but it develops in us right fear, godly fear. It's referring to the last plague that happened in Egypt, the death of the firstborn. God told Moses, kill a lamb. I'm going to come through and I'm going to kill all the firstborn. But those who do what I say, you kill the lamb, you guys will eat the lamb, but smear some of the blood on the doorposts and lintels of your homes. Wherever that blood is found, I will pass over that home. They will not experience death. None of the judgment will fall upon that home.
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.